segment we like to call Anthropology by Google, or News by Google. Actually, it matters in this particular case. One of the top Googled questions last week after Brexit, the British exit from the EU, was, what is the EU? I love that. And that was Google's from England. The simple answer is there is no simple answer. And the United Kingdom's elbow shove to Brussels to leave the European Union is not the end of the matter by any means. The exit hinges on what is called an Article 50 notification, and that's just the beginning. By the way, the top Googled item today, we think, is what is Iceland from the UK, but that's a soccer matter, and we'll talk about that a little later this hour. Philippa Malmgren, Pippa Malmgren, is founder of the economic advisory firm DRPM Group and author of the soon-to-be-released book Signals, How Everyday Signs Can Help Us Navigate the World's Turbulent Economy. By the way, Malgren was also a former advisor to George W. Bush. Can we unravel this?
It is quite possible that Britain doesn't actually exit the European Union, but they negotiate some kind of new status that lets them pay something in, get the benefits, but not be obliged to take all the legislation that the European Union provides, which is really the big complaint. The British want control of their own law back.
What authority does this referendum have legally right now?
Well, technically, it's just an advisory measure is what they call it in British legal terms. But politically, the public feel they have voted. And all of the people who live in London, Scotland and Northern Ireland who voted for staying now are like, oh, we should have another vote. But gosh, that is going to outrage the general public here who feel like they said what they wanted. And that was to regain control of their sovereign power. And failure to deliver that will be a political catastrophe.
But is there really a problem with British sovereign power? I mean, there are certain things that relate to, you know, dealing with other countries in the EU. But there's a lot of things that average folks on the street don't have power over, and it doesn't affect their sovereignty.
Oh, I'm not so sure that's right. And I'll give you a couple examples. Last year, the Commission, which is the ruling authority in the European Union, put on the table full harmonization of bankruptcy, employment, and corporate law. And you know they're not going to take the British model and impose it on the French. They're going to take the French model and impose it on the British. The British are like, we don't want to have that kind of corporate environment. And they would have been obliged to accept it had they stayed inside the European Union. And there are lots of smaller examples, like the European Union telling you, you know, what kind of kettle you can have to boil your tea in. It just drives people insane as they get more invasive.
And, I mean, there are a lot of laws in Britain that drive people insane, but because they're British laws and sovereignty is presumed, even though it's the parliament or some local municipal authority that made those laws, that's not as infuriating as having some French folks across the channel do it?
Yeah, and I'll tell you the profound difference is that at least in the British system, you have recourse and you can overturn the rules and the law. Within the commission, once the commission has ruled and announced a new law, there is no recourse.
Well, there's this.
And, there's this, yeah, which is a pretty extreme example,
right,
of recourse.
Recourse with a capital R. Could there have been another configuration of the commission that would have been more palatable to the raging Democrats that suddenly have emerged here in the UK?
Yeah, without a doubt. So the original European Union was basically a club of member nations. And the only issues that went up to the Commission were ones where it couldn't be negotiated amongst the member states any other way. But everybody got to retain their own rules, their own laws. The new EU, it has morphed into a very aggressive top-down kind of structure that imposes lots of things on the member states, whether they like it or not. That's what everybody who's involved in the exit movement, whether they're in Britain or they're on the continent, is irritated about. They could sign up for the original EU, but the current EU is a vastly different animal.
A comment finally on this clash between what plays as a kind of sense of style, although bureaucracy is often a little more entrenched than style, and this European project that everyone talks about in these whispered tones, really for the last 40 years, this abstract idea of Europe emerging from a Napoleonic nightmare and becoming a union of some sort, Is that idea dead? Does it exist now just in the abstract? What do you think?
Well, yeah, this is the fundamental issue. A Europe that's a bunch of member states is one thing, and everybody liked that idea. A Europe that has one finance minister, one secretary of state equivalent, that one people aren't so comfortable with. And the idea of a European Union army, for example, which, you know, clearly this is the direction they want to go in because they want to create something that's on a par with the United States. But that's the commission and the bureaucrats. The general public is saying, you know, I'm not sure that's working for me. So I think some will continue trying to push in that direction, and a whole lot of people are throwing up red flags of objection.
But there were people a year ago who were saying in the middle of the Greek crisis that if you don't have political control, you'll never have a European Union. It was basically the other argument. Without political control, you're meaningless. Now, with political control, you're meaningless. I don't get it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, here's the bottom line. When the European public have been offered the opportunity to hand over their fiscal and political sovereignty to Brussels, every single time they have declined. They said, no, I don't want to do that. And they're watching what's happening in a country like Greece, which has deteriorated into fundamentally a failed state. And they basically blame Brussels for that. Now, that may be putting the blame in the wrong place. But the idea that Brussels can better govern than your locally elected officials is definitely popular amongst some in the European Union, but it seems to be increasingly unpopular for the general public.
That EU flag's kind of nice, though. It'd make a good comforter. I mean, bedspread,
yeah.
Curtains.
Well, now it's so funny. The new image is with one of the stars fallen out, which is the British.
At the top or at the bottom?
At the bottom.
Pippa Malgram is founder of the economic advisory firm DRPM Group and the author of the soon-to-be-released book Signals, How Everyday Signs Can Help Us Navigate the World's Turbulent Economy. You'll have a little subtitle there. It said, I called the Brexit, right?
Well, I explain in the book why we have these movements and why it's part of a global phenomenon that we need to understand.
Thanks, Pippa.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.